Hey there, thank you for listening to the teaching ministries of Plymouth Meeting Church. We are a community of believers centered around Jesus and His gospel. You're about to listen to a live, raw recording of a message that was brought here. We hope it touches your mind and your heart. God bless.
As most of you know, I have a background in geology. And back at Millersville University, I had the opportunity to take some courses, groundwater science, hydrology, groundwater geology. And in those fields, sometimes you need to know how much water is flowing in a stream or a river. Okay, it's called discharge, right? Now, there's different methods to collect that data, and like I just said, I had the opportunity to take these courses, and we got to get out into the field, and we took these measurements, and we got to measure discharge. It sounds fascinating, right? All right. So discharge is the volume of water moving down a stream per unit of time. Okay. So gallons per day, liters per second. That's what we're measuring. Okay. It's cool stuff if you like water, I guess. So we got to use surveying equipment. That's right here, surveying equipment to measure the area of the stream. And so we would start on one bank, and we would have to work our way across to the other side. And of course, somebody had to actually go through the river, and we would get those measurements. Another device that we use is called a current meter, and basically we would take current, the volume of water, the currents at the top of the stream, in the middle of the stream, and then down at the bedrock, the base of the stream, because water flows at different speeds in the stream. Did you guys know that? So we collect all this data, and then we take it back to the lab, and a lot of math is involved, and actually calculus is involved, and there's this fancy thing called Simpson's rule, where we wanted to find approximate values of definite integrals, and we wanted to find the area of the stream, and it's all this big stuff. But then we figure it out, we type it into the computer, these formulas and equations, and then we get the answer, and we can find out how much water is flowing in a stream. Millersville is in Lancaster County, so we did different streams around Millersville, the Conestoga, and different things like that. We could do it today with the Wissahickon. It was a lot of cool stuff. I really enjoyed it. Now, you heard me say that calculus was involved, right? And God has a good sense of humor because I get to use calculus every day in ministry. That's a joke. No, I don't. Yeah, I had to go through Calc 1 and Calc 2. I actually had to take Calc 2 twice. It's so nice you take it twice. And it was, you have to learn this hard math, and it's highly advised that you take Calc 1 and Calc 2 before you take hydrology. Okay? You need to learn the math before you get to actually apply it to real world, stuff. And then, it's also advised that you have to learn how to do the calculus by hand first. You can't just walk in there and type everything into the computer and let the computer get everything. But that's not how we learn. We have to go the hard way. Learn how to do the math problems by hand, do the calculus by hand first, and then later on you can appreciate the computer. So here's the principle. You should internalize the basics first so that you can appreciate the more complicated things down the line. Okay? Learn the basics first, and then you're going to appreciate and you're going to be able to handle the more difficult things later on in life. This applies to just about everything, right? How about cooking, right? We first start off with words like yummy and yucky. And then as we grow up, as we kind of learn more about food, then we start to say sour, salty, sweet, tangy, things like that. We expand our vocabulary. The same applies with ministry. Internalize the basics, know the basics, learn the principles, and then you'll be able to navigate more complicated situations later on. And so in our passage this morning, Jesus is teaching. He's a rabbi, he's a teacher. Jesus is teaching his students. Okay? And we get to see Jesus empowering his disciples. He's been leading them, and now he's ready to unleash them, and he sends them out to do ministry. Okay, the disciples at this point, they've been around Jesus long enough. They've learned from him. They've watched him. They've seen him do miracles. And so even though the disciples, they're still kind of spiritually dull in some areas, and they don't actually quite understand Jesus' identity yet. So they have some flaws, okay? But the thing is, even in the shape that they're in, Jesus can still use them. All right? So listen closely. They have received enough, and now they can give. Okay? They've received enough, and now they can give. And Jesus, he calls them to this Galilee training event, and he gives them two principles, really, to focus on. These two principles come in the form of six directions. He commissions them. He sends them out with six instructions, these six basic orders, but essentially to teach them two principles, simplicity and content. So you'll see in your bulletin, the handout there, those six instructions that we'll be walking through this morning, they all fall back on the principles of simplicity and contentment. So Jesus, he wants them to feel the urgency, get that sense of mission, depend on God. That's what Jesus is trying to do. He's trying to spark them up here. So here we go. Let's get started. If we take a look at Jesus' directions, the first direction here, in Jesus' authority, go as a team. Jesus sends them out in pairs. Ministry requires teamwork. And ministry, you're going to have to learn how to work with others. I'll just say it like that, okay? Collaborative team effort is a beautiful thing. Not everything needs to be with the team, but really, to start off with, be a team player. Don't go alone. From Ecclesiastes 4, two are better than one because they have a good return for their hard work. If either should fall, one can pick up the other. But how miserable are those who fall and don't have a companion to help them up. So Jesus has given them the authority. He's sending them out. He says, okay, drive out the demons, spread the mission, be my hands and feet. In 1 John 3:8, it actually tells us, why was Jesus revealed? 1 John 3:8 says, the Son of God was revealed for the purpose of destroying the devil's work. Okay? And Jesus is like, okay, your job. I'm sending you out two by two. Go out and destroy evil. Participate in my mission. Go out and destroy evil. And Jesus, once again, he says, but don't go alone. I'm sending you out two by two. Lone Ranger ministry, trying to do everything yourself, that is not biblical. Okay? It's mutual ministry. Working together, working with other Christians, that's strength. That's power right there. Here at church, we have different commissions working together. And guess what? Sometimes community connections hooks up with church life, and they cross-pollinate on some ideas. We have two different commissions, but they come together. They toss ideas, and they figure things out, and they're working together. So a quick story. Back where we used to live in Franklin County, I felt called to just walk around a neighborhood and pass out some brochures about our church. We had a VBS coming up and other programs and things like that. And so, I designed a nice little brochure. And I was like, you know what? There's this trailer park nearby. And have all those homes right there, all those family units. It's like, why don't I just walk through and pass out brochures? So I did this. Do you remember me doing this? Yep. So I went by myself, okay? And it was so intimidating. Okay? I didn't want to talk to anybody, I found out. Like, I put brochures on people's doors and mailboxes and things like that, and actually not their mailbox, because that's illegal apparently, but just like slip it in the door, or just somewhere where it's gonna be, anchored down and not blow away. And I remember telling Jess, I was like, you know what, now I know why Jesus says, like, go out and at least a pair. Go out to, at least have another person there, because it's so, like, intimidating, something's off the whole time, okay? And so that's that. Next, Jesus says, go lean, right? He says, take nothing for the road except a staff. No bread, no traveling bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not put on an extra shirt. Jesus wants the disciples to learn simplicity and contentment. Feel the urgency. Depend on God. Live on mission. Depend on God for their provisions. Depend on God for your success. Depend on the hospitality of the people you're serving. And that extra shirt, that extra tunic that Jesus is talking about, normally that would be used as a blanket at nighttime. But Jesus says, don't even bring that. Don't even bring that. Go lean, go simple, depend on God. So how bold is that? We're all in our street clothes, and we go down to a Philadelphia neighborhood to do ministry. We have no money, no water, no food. And it's like, we're just there, we're just being ourselves, and then it's like, okay, go do ministry. Simplicity and contentment, right there. And so Jesus, he's teaching the disciples by immersion. Okay, just like how we learn a foreign language, one of the best ways to learn is to just go to a foreign country, and by immersion, you just start picking up things, okay? So here's a few points. Learning by immersion, you learn to let go of your fears, okay? You learn naturally. There's things that you just can't learn in a classroom. You pick up things by osmosis. You learn things naturally. By immersion, you learn real life. You learn the way of the street. The slang and things like that. You don't just learn theory, but you learn real life. And then also by immersion, you learn things that just absolutely cannot be replicated in a classroom. So again, Jesus is pushing simplicity and contentment. He sends them out in pairs with authority. He says, depend on me. Depend on your Father. Depend on the hospitality of the people you're serving. And the next, Jesus says, in my authority, go where you're welcomed. In Jesus' authority, go where you're welcomed. So this is verse 10. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that place. So say we go down to Kensington in Philadelphia, and we find somebody who's going to take us in, and they say, hey, you can crash on my couch until it's time for you to go, as long as you need it. What Jesus is saying is, be content with what you're given. Be content with what God has provided. When the disciples find a place to stay, Jesus says, don't leave until you leave. In other words, don't spend half the time trying to find better accommodations when you're there to do ministry work. You're there to focus on the people, to serve the people. Don't worry about better accommodations. God has provided a couch for you to sleep on. Don't leave until it's time to leave. Focus on the ministry, the people. Share life with them. Live in community with the people. And so Jesus, he's pushing them, hey, you're going to have to be relational. You're going to have to live in community areas. You can't get a nice hotel room where at least at night you can close the door and watch the news and wind down. Jesus is like, no, here's the principle. You're going to have to crash on that person's couch the kids might be there, and they might be cooking food at 9 o'clock at night, but guess what? You're right there in the middle of their family. And Jesus says, stay there. Go where you are welcomed. So I've gone on at least 10 or so mission trips in my life, and a majority of the time, I've slept on the floor or the ground. You know, you just have to, like, be humble and be like, okay, this is it. I'm on a mission. And you have to, you know, get cozy with a corner. You find a spot on the ground. Now, on the flip side, go away from where you are rejected. Okay? William Barclay notes that hospitality is a sacred duty of this ancient culture. Okay? It wasn't the disciples' job to go and find, okay, who's hospitable, okay? In this culture, it's the village's job to offer it. And so when they entered a village, you know, let's say it's just Peter and Andrew, they're going to a little village. If the neighborhood is not welcoming, and if they're not listening to you, then Jesus says, move on. Just leave. Shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. And it's okay to leave sometimes. Right? When people don't listen, when they want nothing to do with you, Jesus is saying, all right, you know what? When somebody wants nothing to do with you, stop pursuing fellowship with them. Move on. Sometimes that's hard to hear, right? That's hard to hear. But the thing is, absolutely, sometimes it's going to be a closed door. The hearts are going to be too hardened. They're not ready for you right now. You know, maybe later some other mission group will come through, but right now the door is shut. Move on. There's other fertile ground to get to. Persecution, rejection, it's going to come up. Next week we take a look at the beheading of John the Baptist. Sometimes things don't work out the way we want them to. Shaking the dust off your feet, it's a symbolic gesture. It's a warning. Okay. Now it's not vindictive, and it's not done out of disrespect, but simply it's a warning. It's a symbolic action. And yes, sometimes there will be a proper time and place when you're just going to have to warn somebody, like, hey, you're rejecting the Lord, and it's necessary for me to tell you. I can't give you the answers as to when you know when that time is right or not, but sometimes you might just have to give them a warning. It's going to hurt, it's going to feel dirty, but Jesus says sometimes it's necessary. And so in Jesus' authority, go as a team. Go lean. Go where you're accepted. If you're rejected, then leave. But all the while, as you go, preach repentance. Verse 12, they preached repentance. It's a changing of one's heart that leads to a change in behavior. Okay? They're preaching, hey, everybody, Plymouth Meeting, Norristown, hey, listen up, get right with God. Get right with God and follow Him. Follow Jesus. Let's, you know, we have the Messiah. You know, let's follow God. Get right with God. And this is Mark 1:17 being fulfilled. What's Mark 1:17? Good question. And Jesus said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So they've been following Jesus, and now they're starting to expand Jesus' ministry. They're going out, they're fishing for men. They're reaching the villages. Communities. Repent. Get right with God. Now, repentance isn't just add Jesus but not subtract sin. No, repentance is a change of your heart that leads to a change in behavior. So it's any of these things, any and all of these things. Your attitude, your thoughts, your actions, right? It's where we need to unform our hearts so that we can reform around Jesus and His Word, what He wants to do in us and for us, what He wants for our lives. Let me say that again. It's when we unform. I know unform is not a word, but unform so that we can reform around Jesus. We can follow His will, His plan, His specific purpose for our life. Like the disciples, we too should be taking this message of repentance to our communities. Hey, you know what? Let me tell you a story. Let me get to know you. Let me introduce you to Jesus. Let me tell you, you know, this is what it means to me to be a Christian. Now, a gospel presentation, it's not a dog and pony show, right? Okay. And also, it's not open for opinions or adjustments. There's one gospel. There's one gospel. And somebody said once, the strongest argument for the gospel of Christ is the personal testimony of someone whose life has been changed by it. What does that mean? That means tell your story. Get to know people. Live in community. You know, as it comes up organically, as you start talking about stuff, you know, God's going to open up the doors. And it's going to be natural. And you start sharing your story. This is Jesus. And this is what it means to be a Jesus person. So the disciples, they're traveling around. They're depending on God for everything. They're immersed into the villages, the communities that they're serving. And it's through all these things that when we're in community, these relationships and the connections, it's going to happen. You're going to have a nice platform to just share your story. You know? So, as we do all these relational things, as we do all these community things, and we're sharing our testimony, and you know, we're inviting them to come hang out. Hey, you know, let's do a Bible study and whatnot. As we do all these things, we do kingdom work. As we go, we do kingdom work. And that's our last point. In Jesus' authority, do kingdom work. The disciples, they drove out many demons. They anointed people with oil. They healed people. Holy Spirit healed people. And they're doing kingdom work. They are the hands and the feet of Jesus. And absolutely, they are not doing this on their own strength. They are completely dependent on God. You hear that? They are completely dependent on God. Simplicity and contentment is being lived out every single day. By God's power, they're driving out demons. By God's power, people are being healed. They're anointing people with oil. That's a symbolic action that represents the presence and the grace and the power of God as they anoint people and pray over them. And they are just absolutely depending on God to do everything, for everything, you know? And so Jesus, he gives the disciples a lesson on humility, simplicity, contentment. And essentially all this was to challenge them and to train them. Once again, they received enough and they had enough. Now it's time to start giving back. They weren't perfect. They were far from it. But Jesus wanted the 12 disciples to lay down what they thought was ideal for ministry, what they thought was ideal for kingdom, and whether they had a political view of it or whatever the case may be. Lay down what you think is ideal and instead follow these 6 instructions. Because these are the basics that you need to internalize so that when things get complicated down the road, and they will, you know, you'll be able to handle it. And so what we gather this morning is that at the heart of it, discipleship takes courage, right? It takes courage. It takes courage to live so simply, to find contentment in everything, right? That's a courageous heart, a courageous disciple maker right there. But again, if we internalize the basics, if we can just enjoy the simple things first, we'll be able to navigate the more complicated things later on. If we appreciate If we find contentment in the catacombs, we'll appreciate the cathedrals later on. So who's amazed that these 12 disciples, they were just fishermen and tax collectors not too long ago, but now all of a sudden they're being launched into this amazing ministry. And I just want to point out, this is compliments to Jesus' leadership style. He led them in a way that was highly invitational and also highly challenging. You know, he said, okay, come to me, follow me, I'll build you up, but now I'm going to challenge you and send you out. Okay? These disciples, they weren't too bored. Okay, they weren't already too apathetic about being Jesus followers. You know, Jesus wasn't just another new teacher out there. You know, he was Jesus. They weren't bored, okay? They weren't too comfortable. Jesus didn't just feed them, and they didn't just consume. Right? That's not how Jesus led. And also they weren't too discouraged, okay? Jesus, he wasn't this oppressive, you know, cult leader who just beat them down with rules and orders all the time. He wasn't overbearing. How did Jesus lead? He was highly invitational, and he highly challenged them. And he said, hey, okay, I'm going to empower you, and you're going to go out two by two, and you can do this. You can do this. And absolutely, these backwater, dirty fishermen, a tax collector, they're out just like that, doing ministry. It wasn't really that long ago when they started following him. So I want to encourage you this morning, when God challenges you, don't be afraid to pick up that challenge. You know, rely your principles. If you forgot the basics of your faith, well, hey, go back and revisit them. You know, go back and rediscover what it means to be a biblical Christian again. Go back to your basics. And guess what? Sometimes I feel inadequate to do God's work. Sometimes I'm scared. Sometimes I'm uncertain. Sometimes I'm afraid of failure. How about you? But I know the promise of Psalm 23:4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Absolutely. Can you imagine going out in these ancient villages with nothing but your sandals, and you're just relying on God? You're doing Jesus' work. Can you imagine that? I think about the way that how Jesus was and how he spent time with them, and I think, you know what? They knew that Jesus had their back. They knew that Jesus had their back and they could go. And I feel like that's me. You know, it's like, you know what? I'm doing my best, and I'm leaning into God, and I know he has my back. So I want to encourage you. Don't be afraid to pick up the challenges that Jesus is giving you. There's basic stuff that Jesus wants us to know every single day. Let's pray together. Let's read together. Let's work together. Let's play together. You know, we're a team here. So maybe of all the principles here, let's just really tap in to that first one. You know, let's really enjoy our fellowship time right here after our worship gathering. You know, let's be a team. We have work to do. We have kingdom work to do right here in our community. Jesus has our back. Let's follow him. Let's pray.